Thank you, David, and thank all of you for joining together with us tonight in these great hymns of faith. You know, hymns have a way, I think, of setting us afire spiritually. They remind us of God's great love for us and the hope that we have as God's children. But they also, within us, help us get ready for the proclamation of the Word, and I know that you're ready tonight. You know, I did light the fire this afternoon. I hope it's warm enough in here for you. that's kind of a psychological ploy, I suppose. You know, people have often asked the question, I wonder what Paul's thorn in the flesh actually was. You know, Paul mentions that when he writes to the Corinthian church. And he also, in his conversing with them, no doubt, having been there, but also addressing two epistles to the church there, makes mention of that thorn in the flesh. And he talks about how he went to God, and he uses that. That's analogous of some other issue that's going on in his life. We're going to take a look at maybe some possibilities here tonight. But you will remember that this particular problem, whatever it was, just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away on its own. And even when he besought the Lord, it didn't go away. And he went before God's throne on three different occasions asking that this particular thorn in the flesh might be removed. And I think Paul would have been just as satisfied if God had taken him away from the thorn as much as taking the thorn away from him. You know, sometimes God does that in life, doesn't he? He takes us away from our problems and our troubles, and we go and be with God in heaven. And sometimes he chooses to remove that problem for us. But in this case, he didn't neither. He didn't take Paul away, and he didn't take the thorn away. And every time that he approached the throne of God about the removal of it, God would always say, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." Now, the account is given in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, verse 7 through 10, and I want to read this tonight to help us set the stage for what we're going to be talking about. Actually, in chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." And you have to remember that Paul had all kinds of revelations about God, and he was able to view the third heaven. But you remember, he was unable to describe that heaven that we know so little about. And he says, "Because I had received these abundant revelations from God, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." I've told you many, many times, and we talked about it this morning in our Bible class, that we're to conquer the pride and become humble human beings. God has no part of those who are proud and haughty of the wrong things. And you will remember, he says that, "Unless I be exalted above measure, these issues came into my life." You know, it's not wrong for a person to think highly of himself. In the book of Romans chapter 12, one of the things that Paul acknowledges in that chapter, he says, "Let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think." And so maybe there may have been that inkling of temptation for Paul, having had these revelations from God. And so the Lord allowed this particular, what we call the thorn in the flesh, to buffet him. And he says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" Isn't that so true? Sometimes when we are weak, we depend upon God even more. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Well, you know, I guess we all have a little curiosity about what that thorn in the flesh actually was. Now, It didn't go away, but what was the thorn to begin with? Is there any inkling at all in the Bible about what it might have been? Someone said that it could have been a paralytic, actually a disorder. It could have been that, all right. We don't really have information concerning that. It could have been an unruly desire, maybe little demons that were working in his life, and he was trying to conquer those and get rid of them, and everywhere he looked, there was temptation. And so anyway, he could have said, like a lot of you say sometimes, and you don't come to church, well, I had a headache. That's one of the most common excuses I think that people make. Well, I had a headache, and I just couldn't come and worship our God. Well, what was the thorn? Again, we don't really know. It could have been physical infirmity of some kind. Maybe there's a hint to that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13. When he says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So Paul's acknowledging that he had some kind of physical issue going on in his life. And maybe he refers to it. He's the one who actually refers to it, not God, as the thorn in the flesh. Paul is the one who acknowledges that. Well, it could have been an eye disorder because of that in Galatians 4 and verse 15. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and you would have given them unto me. Now, you're kind of led to believe that maybe he had problems with a cornea, or perhaps maybe he had glaucoma, maybe he had macular degeneration. I mean, we could go on to surmise and really perhaps analyze some of the things of what it might be. It could have been persecutions that he was going through because he was preaching the gospel. We know that everywhere Paul went, he was run out of town. He wasn't your typical preacher, but because he was preaching the word of God, there were a lot of people didn't like that, and they were ready to run him out of town. Read about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. And that the reason for that, the 40 stripes, is that it took about 40 stripes with a whip to actually open your back with all those latches, and a man would die. And so therefore, they would, after 39 times of doing that, they would quit. Well, he says, thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings, often even in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger, he says, and in thirst, in fastings, and he says often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh among me daily is even the cares of all the churches. Now, if a man gave a resume to go to work for a church, do you think they would buy that? Would that be the kind of preacher you'd want? Probably not, but it may be the kind of preacher you need. And I can tell you, a lot of people don't like preaching that convicts or converts. But that's what Paul did. But I think it's really interesting here at the end where Paul says, but besides all those things, I'm a pretty good guy and everything's going pretty good in my life, except all the care of various congregations. He said, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And he said, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities, because he knew that God had allowed those things. But whatever it was, Paul wanted relief for it, for he prays about three times, and he's asking God to take it away. And he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. 2 Corinthians 12:8. The issue is my response to the thorn. And I think, you know, we all face thorns in our life. You may have a thorn I know nothing at all about, an issue or a problem. I might have a problem that you know nothing about. But at the same time, what is my response to that particular thorn? How should I react to it? Should I react like Paul did? Sometimes people look at life and look at other people who apparently maybe are not having, not apparently anyway, not having any really issues that are going on in their life, and they see all these other people out there, and when it happens to you, you start crying out, why me? Why me, Lord? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why didn't you allow it to happen to some of those folks over there? And I'm like the fellow who said, why not me? Why not me? What makes me so special that I don't go through issues and trials? And then they start questioning God. First of all, God, where are you? Are you around anywhere? God, are you still there? God's still there. He is. And then how can this possibly be? You know, some of God's greatest servants in the New Testament were those who encountered one problem right after another. Certainly Peter was one of them. Paul wasn't the only one. I mean, you go back and look at all of the great stalwart giants of the Word of God. They were the ones that went through some of the greatest trials and greatest problems known to mankind. And they perhaps could have asked the question, God, how could this possibly be? I'm out here doing your work. I'm out here serving you. I am doing what you have asked me to do, and you've allowed these things to come into my life. And then you begin to ask the question that the disciples asked of Jesus when they were on a boat out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And they said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to perish here? And they go back to the back of the ship and wake Jesus up. He's catching a nap. And they get all upset about it. They think they're going to drown. And Jesus comes to the front of that ship and just simply looks at the waters and says, peace be still. And there was a calm on that sea, just like it would be on a pond in on a sunny summer day in East Texas. You know the kind of pond I'm talking about, when it's just everything is just really, really quiet. And so anyway, they asked the question, does God care? And I really believe that he wasn't really speaking to the waters, but he was speaking to the hearts of those who were going through trials, like the apostles. They were so fearful. And he just says, peace be still. Perhaps maybe he's saying that to those who are on that ship. Peace. Peace be still. Maybe he was. When I think of that thorn that will not go away, one of the things I recognize is that this battle was something that was going on internally in his life, not externally, okay? We have a lot of problems sometimes that people see, and that's external. But what was going on in Paul's life was something that was internal within him. Nobody knew about it. Paul doesn't acknowledge what it is. And maybe there are reasons for that. You know, we sit here and we summarize and we theoretically say, well, it could have been this, could have been that. Paul doesn't acknowledge it. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, my eyes, I really have trouble seeing. Could you take this problem away from my eyesight? Or could you take away this problem with physical infirmity? Or, I've really been persecuted a lot, Lord. I've been thrown in jail, and I've been out there on the sea and water for 2 days, and all of these issues are going on. Those are external things you can see. But Paul does not name what the thorn in the flesh actually was. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 28, and also in the book of Job 4 and verse 1, we know that problems are common to all people. Listen to what Paul writes here. Of the Jews, again, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You wonder, how in the world did he live? You wonder, how in the world did he make that? How could he possibly make it? He's talking about how he was hungry and he was in pain and all of these issues that were going upon him. But then secondly, when I try to analyze this thorn that Paul's talking about, how does one retain his faith when all of those things are going on? You know, that's a tough call, isn't it? You know, I have people all the time in counseling that ask me, how do I hold on to my faith? How do I really even grow in my faith when these problems are there before me every day of my life? Well, I think you have to go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. This passage actually contains some of the most memorable words of Paul's ministry. But in verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content." Paul's not arguing with God. He's just saying, hey, whatever it is, I'll accept it and I'll go on. And he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to both be full, notice this, and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he gives that little passage here that we often take out of text, and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Boy, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? And Paul meant that. He said, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. You know, when he came to the end of the way, he said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, and there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. When we analyze the thorn that just would not go away, you have to say from what Paul writes here that you cannot blame God. Have you ever noticed when sometimes things go amiss or things go wrong in our life, people have a tendency to blame God? And the reason, here's a little kicker the way they go about doing that. They say, well, you know I'm facing all these issues, and you say that God is in control. Well, why did God allow this to happen? If God is really in control, why did he allow it to happen? He allowed it to happen because he is in control. Think about it in that light. God did allow it to happen because he is in control. And it was like David in the Old Testament who said, it was good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You know, sometimes you learn some of the greatest lessons in life when you're going through problematic times, when you're going through distress, when you're having health issues, when you're having problems in your marriage, when you have problems with your children, when you have problems maybe at the workplace. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Don't blame God with it. Paul's thorn was a messenger of Satan to buffet. And that word buffet actually just simply means to hit, to hurt Paul, to afflict him. And there again, people said, well, why did God do that? I can't tell you why God did that. I cannot get in the mind of God to know exactly why he does. And God does a lot of things that we don't always comprehend because God's not a logical God. He's illogical. He doesn't operate on our logic. He operates on his own. And I've told you before, you know, we sing that old song, Tempted and Tried, We're Oft Made to Wonder Why It Should Be Thus All the Day Long. And that chorus goes on to say, we'll understand it all better by and by. Will we or not? Is there any assurance that we'll understand it all better and better by and by? Nope. God doesn't teach us that. I don't know where we came up with that kind of concept. You know, we're going to know all the answers. All the mysteries of God will be revealed for us in heaven. God didn't say that. You may believe that, but there's a difference in what we believe and what God says. That's why the religious world is so immensely divided tonight. And it is divided. And I can tell you there is only one who knows the answer to that, and that is Jehovah God. Do we understand? No. Job 1, verse 6 through 12. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. We see the purpose of God. What is God's purpose here? May not always understand it. Does God care? Absolutely he cares. Does he love you? He says, with an everlasting love. David said, I have been drawn to God with an everlasting love. Let me read Job 1, verse 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord God, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered him and said, O Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all of the earth? He's a perfect, he's an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made him a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth, he says, thine hand now, and touch all that he hath. Satan saying this, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Now, Satan learned something that day that a lot of times we don't remember. And that is, life and death are in the power of Almighty God. He said, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, why did God allow Satan to afflict Job? Well, the real answer to that, first of all, is don't blame God. Hardships make us strong. Problems give birth to wisdom. Sorrows cultivate compromise. And those who have suffered the most will become the happiest. Sometimes I look at people, and I see so many people in the church that are going through difficult times, and sometimes they're just really immense. And the people that really weather the storms of life are the people that have great faith. And sometimes God does not allow weak people to go through problems because he knows how weak they are. They're going to fail. But God gives his strongest task to strong Christians. Don't blame God. He's not to be blamed for anything. But number four, he gladly accepted the thorn in the finality of this discussion. He gladly accepted it. Sometimes there are things in life that we never accept. Sometimes it's just better to accept and go on. Remember this morning when I said, God, we ought to say, God, help me to accept the things that I cannot change. Help me to change the things I can, but then give me the wisdom to know the difference by accepting the things that I can't change. Audrey and I were discussing that this morning. We always do that after my sermon on Sunday. And she said, there's one thing we can't change, and that's the weather. Would y'all like to change the weather tonight? I'd kind of like to change it. I can't do it. We don't have any power to do it. Don't blame the weatherman. I was talking to Robert Thornton one day, who was the chief meteorologist over at NBC 56. And he said, people blame us all the time, but said, we don't have anything to do with the weather. We just report it. We just tell you what it's going to be. And that's it. When I think about this thorn in the flesh, Paul says, I will gladly, notice that, therefore boast in my infirmities, and I take pleasure in my infirmities, my persecution, my needs, all of those things that I go through that are distressful, for Christ's sake, I will accept them. And that's what God has asked each and every one of us to do. Last of all, the value of a thorn. You ever considered the fact, had it not been a thorn? I know in my own life, I may not be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ had it not been for thorns in my life. At the time, I didn't understand it. At the time, I didn't like it. At the time, I didn't accept it. But God continued to bring one thorn after another. And as a result of it, I have been strengthened in the Spirit. Paul says, "And when I'm weak, then am I strong. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God," Paul writes in that 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. "For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." The strength comes by facing resistance. You know what made those big old trees out there in California strong? Resistance to the wind, to the fires. And you know what? We go through a lot of fire and a lot of wind in our life, don't we? So the answer to all that is don't judge God. Paul didn't. And look to the cross. For in Romans 5 and 8, he says, "God commendeth his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Keep your perspective, Romans chapter 8. Be of help to other people who are going through trials and ask God for help. For James 1, 5 and following says, "You have not because you ask not." Pray for deliverance from trials, all right? Jesus did it. But that doesn't mean that God's always going to do it, does it? And then accept the challenge that God puts before us, Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of life. And quit saying, "I can't. I can't serve God. I just can't continue to go on." Sure you can. Get rid of the T and you can. And just say, "With God's help, I can do all things." You know, our Lord and our Savior experienced more than one thorn. Factually speaking, there were many of them were crushed into his head. Many of them. And instead of lamenting the fact that he was dying on a cross, he looked up to God and he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." 2 Corinthians is a tough book for us to accept. And Paul's words here in these particular passages that we've read tonight serve to remind us that as God's children, we're not going to escape all the problems of the world. No. But we know where we're going when we leave this earth. As a child of God, whatever we have to experience, we know it's going to be far better on the other side, as we were singing about tonight in these great hymns that have encouraged us so much. If you're here tonight and you're going through difficulty in your life and you want us to pray for you, and you know, collective praying is one of the things that the Bible actually teaches. And it is so important for us to do that, to pray and ask for forgiveness and strength that can only come from God. He is the great source of our revenues of strength, and he wants to give it to you tonight. And if you're not a Christian, to come and obey the gospel by repenting and believing in Christ, acknowledging him as Lord, and by being baptized for the remission of sins. Listen, isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a little to pay for the salvation that Christ procured for us at the cross? And then to be faithful unto him. Not hard to be faithful to somebody that loves you. It isn't for me, and I hope it isn't for you. Let us stand and let us sing.